news the latter part of this week that some dear precious loved ones of ours are with the Lord now. We thank the Lord for the promises of Scripture such as this one in John chapter number 14. I'm thankful that the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In John chapter 14 and verse number 1, Jesus said these words. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Thomas asks this question here in verse number 5. He says, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" Now, we know the way. The way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but through the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says there, "We know not whither thou goest." The Lord said there, up there in verse number 2, He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Now, I believe what was yet to be done was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ had to be poured out there on Calvary's cross. He arose, He ascended, He presented that blood before a holy God. And that blood, according to Hebrews, still speaks on our behalf before God. Amen for that. But I want to talk to you about that place that's been prepared for you. Isn't that a glorious thing?
Yes.
That there is a place prepared for you. I mean, just stop and let that sink in. We probably learned that. If you've been in church, you probably memorized that verse many years ago. We teach our children to memorize that verse. "I go to prepare a place for you." Stop and think about that phrase that Jesus said. A place for you. Well, where is that place? Thomas wasn't sure about it. What is that place? Let's talk about that place prepared for you. If you turn over to Revelation chapter 21, go over there with me real quick. Revelation chapter number 21. When you get to the passage of Scripture in Revelation chapter number 21, let me tell you what's already taken place. What's already taken place is the rapture of the saints. All of God's people will have already been called out. We believe we see a picture of that in Revelation chapter number 4. And that, as we talked about this morning in Sunday school, that event could happen at any moment. Even before the end of this message, the Lord could come back. What a glorious day that would be. Amen. But the Lord, that is, I believe, the next on God's timetable, if you will, the next event to take place, which could be at any moment. And when it happens, it will be any moment, in the twinkling of an eye. When that occurs, then will begin 7 years of tribulation. In Revelation chapter number 21, we're past those 7 years of tribulation. In the middle of those 7 years, at the 3.5 year mark, the Antichrist will declare himself to be God and demand to be worshipped. A great persecution will be turned upon the nation of Israel. 2/3 of all the Jewish nation will be destroyed. A time as this world has never seen will take place. Then at the end of that, the world's armies will gather against and declare war on God. The Lord will come, and with just the power of His voice, He will defeat all enemies. He will then bind Satan, and for 1,000 years He will rule and reign on this earth, and we will rule and reign with Him. When we get to Revelation 21, that is behind us. At the end of those 1,000 years, the millennial reign of Christ, the devil will be released for a season. Unfortunately, many of the world will turn against the Lord. That's hard to fathom, but it shows the corruptness of man's heart. They will corrupt again, they will turn against God. And then Satan will be forever, praise the Lord, forever bound and cast into the lake of fire. There will be the great white throne, which all those who
chose to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, their works will testify against them, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. When we get to Revelation 21, that is behind us. Because Revelation 21 starts, if you'll see in verse number 1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." I love that part of the verse. I know I've said it a lot. The Bible says that our sins are cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness. And when we get to heaven, in this new earth and new heaven, there won't even be a sea. Praise the Lord, sin is gone. Amen. Verse 2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice of heaven saying, out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Again, I believe the timing of things. The Lord wipes the tears away after all of these events, after the great white throne. That's what the Bible teaches there. It'll be a terrible time to see those who have rejected Christ give an account for their sins. I'm so thankful that I've not rejected the Lord, but I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I have salvation. But there will be a great wiping away of all tears. "And he that sat on the throne," verse 5, said, "Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You see, in this passage of Scripture here, it describes the New Jerusalem. This place that God has prepared for us. I want us to look at what John saw that day. And I want to remind us today as God's people that there is a better place to go. And there is a place prepared for you. When I make that statement, there's a place prepared for you, I'm not just talking to the believer today. God prepared heaven for you. I don't care who you are. God wants you to go to heaven. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Heaven was prepared for you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you bless the reading and now the preaching of your word. I pray that, Lord, you just give us your thoughts, your wisdom. I yield myself to you. Lord, your boldness to encourage, to, Lord, challenge the believer today in this place that's been prepared for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I want you to see a couple of things about this place prepared for you today. Number one, I want you to see the loveliness of the city. The loveliness of the city. I don't care how long I take or what all I say, I cannot do it justice.
That's right.
I have not seen nor ear heard. Our imagines have never even thought up anything close to how great heaven's going to be one day. You'll notice here in Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 2, it says, "And I, John, saw the holy city and New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride," look at that word, "adorned for a husband." This New Jerusalem is a place that has been adorned. It is a place that has been made beautiful. Amen? Just as a bride prepares herself for the wedding day. You know, we've done quite a few wedding ceremonies, and I've officiated quite a few of them. And every one of them that I've ever officiated or even been to, the bride adorns herself before the wedding ceremony. I mean, she doesn't usually walk in and, threw on whatever t-shirt she found, right? And a pair of jeans, jean skirt and a pair of shoes and whatever, and just walk in and say, hey, here I am, right? No, it's usually a whole lot of hair dressing. It usually starts in the morning, about 3 a.m, I think. And then hours of makeup and dresses. You don't even talk about how long it took to pick out the dress, right? And the whole process. Now, for the guys, it doesn't say as the groom prepares himself, because we're just like, I'll shave, right? But they adorn themselves. Heaven, the place prepared for you, has been adorned for you. It has been made beautiful. Look at verse number 18 in the same chapter. I just want you to stop and think about how great God is and what He's done for you this morning. In verse number 18, it says, "Now the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." The beauty of this city is nothing like we've ever beheld. You know, I've been to a few places on this earth. I've had the privilege growing up, and I've been to, I've spent time over in Israel. I've been in Jordan. I've been in Egypt. I've been to Greece. I've been to Italy. I've been to England. I've been around this great country of ours. I've been to Canada. I've been to Mexico. I have seen, as we a couple years ago, we drove and just kind of did a big circle in this nation. We went down south and saw the beauty that is there. We drove up, went through Yellowstone, and the beauty, just, it will take your breath away. I've seen the Grand Canyon. I've seen a lot of things, pictures of other things that the world says, look how beautiful. And it truly is. There are some beautiful places on this earth. But there is nothing that comes close to the beauty of the place He has prepared for you. When you stop and think of what all the Lord has done, and you look at these precious stones and gems and the street of gold that we will walk on, and the beauty that is there. Look in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 1. "And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life that bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." It will be a beautiful place, this place that God has prepared for us. It has been adorned. You notice the loveliness of the city. But then I want you to take in with me this morning the largeness of the city. In Revelation chapter 21, go back with me and look at verse number 15. Revelation 21, verse number 15. "And He talked with me, and had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And He measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And He measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel." The Lord gives us here, and not just some picture, it says according to the measure of a man. In other words, He has given it to us so we can truly see how large a place this New Jerusalem is. Now, I don't know if you've ever stopped and pondered what we just read. According to these verses of Scripture, it is 12,000 furlongs. In other words, if you take that, it's 1,500 square miles. So if you just take that, if I can give you something to kind of relate it to, it's roughly the same size of the country of India, or in other words, it is 2 million square miles, all of its capacity, according to the measure of a man. That's the ground floor. Because the height of it is the same, according to chapter 21, verse number 16. Now, right now you're just staring at me. I want you to take a deep breath and listen to what I'm about to tell you, alright? That means this, that if the New Jerusalem was sitting on the earth, right now, currently, it's been in the news lately, the International Space Station. We sent some men up there. It is orbiting at 250 miles above the earth. The New Jerusalem, if starting on ground level here on earth, would be 6 times higher than the International Space Station.
Yes.
Let that sink in real quick. That's pretty high. It's pretty tall. Y'all with me?
Yes.
That's a pretty good sized building, amen? A city. It is 6 times higher. You're not impressed yet, so let me impress you with this. If you did each story, I don't know if it's in stories or not, but if you did each story of the New Jerusalem at 12 feet, typically a story in a building, if you did each one at 12 feet, the Empire State Building is 102 stories. The New Jerusalem would be 600,000 stories. Now, surely that impressed you a little bit, all right? And each story is 2 million square miles. You got to be a little impressed, amen? It's huge. So why would God make it that big? He made it so that anyone and everyone who ever had life had a place to go. See, that's huge! It is. It's because God has prepared a place for you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what age you lived in. God prepared this place for you. To kind of give you a grasp of how large a city this is, you would have to stand 160,000 miles away so that it appeared the size of the moon in the sky. The largeness of the city. You see the loveliness and the largeness, but really those things are great. But one of the best things I can tell you is this, the Lord of the city.
Yes.
In Revelation chapter number 21 and verse number 22, it says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Verse 23, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof."
Yes.
We're going to a place, my friends, that is lovely. We're going to a place, my friends, that is large. But we are going to a place, and praise the Lord, where the Lord of the city is our God. He will be the light of the city. There will never be a need for a light, for a candle. The sun will never set. The leaves will never fade. Praise God.
Yes.
We will be with the Lord for all of eternity. He is our God. He is our Savior. Right now, we walk by faith, not by sight, but then we will live every day beholding Him.
Yes.
I love anytime I ever went to the Hiles house, Brother Richard Hiles and this Sandy always had all their kids hanging up in the hall. And there's always one picture framed that was empty. And it just had a little phrase at the bottom, "Whom having not seen, ye love." Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning, I can tell you this, and I know it's been quite a few years, but Brother Hiles was praising God this morning. Not just by faith, but by sight.
Yes.
Many of our loved ones this morning have gone on to be in the presence of the Lord. They have seen the loveliness of this city. They have seen the largeness of this city. But the only thing that they will want to talk about is the Lord of this city.
Yes.
And how wonderful and precious and glorious He is. And someday when we get there, and what a day that will be, we will see our Lord face to face. Those nail prints, I believe we'll see Him.
Yes.
We'll praise Him. We'll thank Him for all of eternity.
Right.
I want you to see the Lord of the city, and then I want you to see the light of the city. Look in chapter number 21 and verse number 22 again. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it. The glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And we know that the Lord is the light of the city. But I want us to keep reading. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring their glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Jesus is the light of this New Jerusalem.
Yes.
And you and I, as it says there very clearly in verse 24, we that are saved will walk for all of eternity in the light of this city. What a wonderful thing. But notice here, it's those that are saved. So can you define that more in verse number 27? They that are written in the Lamb's book of life. This place has been prepared for you. It's lovely. I could never do it justice. It's beauty beyond compare. Its largeness, it's hard for us to fathom. The Lord of the city, He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, the great shepherd, our greatest friend, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the light of the city, we will walk in for all of eternity for those who are saved. According to the Bible, there is one sin that will keep you from living in eternity in this place prepared for you.
Right.
And that is unbelief.
Yes.
When you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. A man looked at Paul and said, "What must I do to be saved?" "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The one thing that will keep you from this place that's been prepared for you is unbelief. Those who would know that they're a sinner, know that God has sent His Son to die for them, know that this place has been prepared, the way has been made, Jesus rose from the dead, He conquered death, He conquered the grave. Yours is to have heaven, it is all yours, Jesus paid it all. But to hear that and say no. To hear that and say, "I'll do it my own way." To hear that and say, "I do not trust Jesus Christ. I do not reject what He has done for me." The Bible teaches that that name will not be found in the book of life.
Right.
Now, if you're here today, I got great news. If you're saved, this place is waiting for you.
Amen.
And the moment that these eyes close in death, they open in the presence of the light of the city. For all of eternity, the Bible says that His name is upon their foreheads. In other words, we can't stop praising and looking towards Him and glorifying Him, and what a day it's going to be without a doubt for all of us that are saved. But if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ's sacrifice and His gift of eternal life, If you've never had a personal time in your life when you said, yes, I believe this. I am a sinner. My sins do. They condemn me. But I believe Jesus paid for my sins. If you've never done that, I encourage you today, would you make that choice? Because there is a place that's been prepared for you. There's a place that God wants you to go one day. For the believer today, aren't you glad that this is not the end?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that this is not what we're living for? I know you've probably heard the story before, but it's true. There was a couple that spent their entire life as missionaries in the heart of Africa. And they spent their entire life until they were at an age where they could not physically do it any longer. And so they were coming back to the States, and at that time they came back on a boat. There's a lot of fanfare on the boat, and they found out that on that boat was Teddy Roosevelt. He had been to Africa hunting on one of his trips, and he was on that boat. The place was abuzz. People were talking about President Roosevelt. Missionary, the man that had spent his whole life, looked at his wife and said, "This isn't fair. I spent my entire life serving God, and here's a man that went on a hunting trip, and everyone's turned upside down, talking all about him, doing everything, and no one even knows who we are." His wife said, "Honey, you're not doing it for this." He said, "Yeah, I know, but it's still not fair." They pulled into New York City, the boat docked, the band played. Everyone cheered, waved flags. "Welcome home, President Roosevelt." They all jumped up and down, confetti. The old missionary stood there on the side of the boat watching all this and just shook his head. He got mad. He's one of the last ones to get off the boat. He went back to his place where they were staying, and he looked at his wife that night and said, "I just can't stand it. It's not fair. We spent our entire life and brought people to Christ and did what really matters. And no one even knew we were coming home. Not one person was there." And she said, "Honey, why don't you go tell God about it?" He said, "I will." And he slammed the door and went in his room. About an hour later, he walked out of his room with a big old smile on his face. She said, "Are you okay?" He said, "Never been better." "You talked to God?" "I did." And he told me something really simple. She said, "What's that?" Amen. She said, "God looked at me and said," or he said, "God told me, sir, you're not home yet." Amen. When we get home, it'll be worth it. When we get home, you'll wish you'd given him more. When you get home, you'll have no regrets for anything you did for Christ. When we get home, there is a great place prepared for us.